Tuesday of the month, this October the 8th. And on the second Tuesday of every month at 11:30, we take some time to just check in with our friends from the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo-Wellington and a little checkup on our own mental well-being. Helen Fishburne is the executive director of CMHA Waterloo-Wellington, and Allison Demouy is the director of strategy and innovation. It's lovely to see you both. Thank you for coming by.
As always, great to be here.
Great to see you, Mike.
We are in the midst of Mental Illness Week, and in fact, we had an email from our company yesterday that highlighted this fact and reminded us of the services that are available through our employer, obviously, that can provide some help. But it's important, I think, Helen, that we do shine the spotlight very directly at some times during our year for these very things.
It really is. It's a consciousness, right? So it's a sitting down and reflecting. How am I doing? We all manage so much in our lives every single day. You know, we're off to work, we're caring for our kids, we're caring for our aging parents, we're putting some nice meals on the table, we're seeing our friends socially. This is a chance just to sit and think, you know, how am I really doing? How am I managing? What are the things that I think I'm doing well? And what are the things that I think I need to do better? Do I need to exercise a little bit more? Do I need to get more sleep? Do I need to eat less sugar? You know, whatever it is, all of those factors contribute to your mental wellness, right? So this week is really an opportunity just for some self-reflection.
Right. And is that what we encourage folks to do during a week like this? Are there major initiatives planned, or is it just that gentle reminder to take stock for a moment?
It's a gentle reminder, but of course, anytime you do that, then there's the opportunity to connect beyond that, right? So the first thing is always, always talk to your network. Talk to your circle of friends. Talk to your folks that are in your family. Talk to your next door neighbor. You know, if you're not feeling great, if you have that period of self-reflection and you think, you know, I don't feel myself, I'm a bit off, get in and talk to your family doctor if that's helpful. As you know, we always have your 24/7 available as well. People can just call in and say, you know, here's what I'm struggling with. It doesn't feel right. And just have a conversation, right? So it's just that opportunity to make your thoughts and feelings conscious and then to share them. That's always the most important thing.
One of the things we wanted to focus on with our time today is women and their mental health. And you know, it's funny, as soon as we brought that up, as soon as you mentioned that, I thought I can absolutely see where we're going with this, because I get the sense that there's a tendency on the part of women to shoulder the burden of that caregiver's load, and then heaven forbid that they're having an off day because they have to take care of everybody else,
yes.
Right? And then lo and behold, it's not just the first Tuesday or the second Tuesday of the month when we have this conversation at 11:30 in the morning on the show, but today also happens to be Tampon Tuesday. Allison, you want to shed some light on that?
Yeah, this is exciting. I think it's finally time. There's a couple things that we're try to destigmatize today. Mental health is one of them. The other thing is just about women's issues generally, and tampons are something that you know, we haven't talked about a lot in society. It's menstrual and reproductive health is not something that's an open conversation, and it needs to be, because it's clearly something that women deal with every day. This is now a national day in which women's issues are highlighted. It is also a day, though, specifically around tampons and maxi pads and things like that, because it's the number one need at food banks, and it is the least amount of donated items. So it's a chance for us to try and bridge that gap. And so it's something that we highlight. Shoppers Drug Mart is a big supporter of this, and they are actually doing a campaign today to have people go into the stores and donate tampons and maxi pads that will go to the local food banks. But it's also a chance, as I said, to highlight just women's health issues generally.
And you know, there's an organization that's got its roots right now in Cambridge called the Period Purse. I know the work that they are doing, and they've made some traction. We're not fully there yet with Cambridge Council, but I think we're getting close. And this is the whole idea about the dignity around.
Yes, very much.
Right? The whole issue.
Feminine hygiene products are expensive.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
Right.
So, you know, for women who struggle, and they struggle with mental health, they might have addiction issues, there's some homelessness, poverty, all of those pieces are very important in terms of not being able to afford basic requirements as a female.
Yeah, and so I think that once Cambridge gets on board, eventually I think it will, with the work that the Period Purse is doing, maybe the entire region will start getting to that point where these products are available free of charge in public washrooms within our municipality. I know some municipalities have done that already. And of course, this is just one aspect of the overall health, women's hygiene health in this case. But when we talk about women and mental health, Helen, what other things do we need to be concerned with?
Well, we see a disproportionate amount of women in our services at CMHA. About 70% of our adult services are women. About 55% of our crisis services are women. So in some ways, that's a good thing in the sense that they're coming forward and expressing their challenges, and we're responding to that. Sometimes men, you know, it isn't that men have less issues, it's sometimes they just don't come forward, right? They struggle with the stigma even more than women do. But certainly some of what you've talked about, Mike, make mental health, even women are more vulnerable to mental health issues because of everything that they carry. You know, they're great moms. Many, many women these days work outside of the home. It's a lot to balance. And what happens is, as you care for everyone else and you're so productive at your job and you're a great community person, your own self-care becomes less and less of a priority. So something has to give, and it's often your self-care, right? And so that's where people are more vulnerable to things like depression, anxiety, drinking, and prescription drug use as well. All of which, you know, you don't think about, but it can become quite unstable quite quickly.
Allison, is that an instance whereby we might want to remind the women in our lives and those listening right now to maybe be selfish sometimes, right? Because Helen talks about self-care, and we talked earlier about the burden that so many women carry because they think it's their duty to be the caregivers. They don't have time for sick days, right? So maybe be a little selfish in this regard.
I think that's fair. And I think the other thing that we can do is remind men about this. I mean, one of the interesting statistics that we've seen is that as more women are getting into the workforce, they're not downloading the traditional female roles of being caretakers for the children and for elderly parents to their spouses or to men generally in society, that they're actually just taking on both. And so this is an opportunity, I think, for men as well to say, how might I maybe play a bigger role in supporting the women in my life and helping out in any way that they can to sort of do that? I think women would love sometimes maybe the permission to just have a bath, go for a walk, go out with girlfriends, instead of feeling the burden, which I think a lot of women do. They feel the guilt when they do that, when they do self-care. So I think it's maybe all of us have to support each other. Women have to do it for other women, and certainly men have to do it for women as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about that, taking the time and not feeling the guilt for so doing. We had a case at home on the weekend, and we had a couple of tickets, so I get to go to every Rangers game for free because, you know, it kind of comes with the job. So my beloved and our daughter had tickets to go, but our daughter had a sleepover on Saturday night. And so my better half thought, well, it's, you know, the kids could go to the game, but then am I doing the wrong thing by, you know, staying home and not attending the game with our daughter? I said, listen, the dog's at daycare. The kids can go to the hockey game. I said, if I'm you, right, I'm on the couch, I'm watching whatever I want on television, I'm just zoning out for a while. And that doesn't necessarily have to be gender specific. In this case, it turned out to be. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting to me that feeling of guilt that was associated with, you know what, the house is empty, I'm going to just put my feet up and relax for a Sunday afternoon. That's okay.
It's a great example, Mike, and it's something I think as women we struggle with all the time, right? Because we just aren't used to thinking in that way.
Right.
And it is something that we need to get used to.
We do. I was at this Oktoberfest last night.
Oh, yes, the
women's. Thank you. I don't want to confuse the two. Two very different events. Both Oktoberfest. The Women of the Year Awards. And there was a great speaker there who was talking, though, and she said, I'm going to ask this question, and you know, men very rarely get asked this question, but the question is always, how do you do it all? How do you do it all? How do you be a successful woman, a mom, a sister, a daughter? How do you do it all? And the answer, though, generally is, I have a good group of friends around me. I have a good group of girlfriends, and I have a good spouse that helps me out. And I think that's where we probably do need to give ourselves a little bit of space and say we need to count on the people around us more to help us as we get through this.
Right. Should we be if we are in that group? Like, are there things that we should be aware of to ensure that the women in our lives, the women that we love so dearly, are taking care of themselves the way that they ought to be taking care of themselves? And perhaps, if not, to steer them in any direction?
I think asking the question is probably the most important thing, right? Because, again, it makes it conscious. So what do you need tonight? You know, what would make you happy? You know, how can I help? It's some of those open-ended questions. And again, I know anytime my husband asks me those kinds of questions, I have to stop and think about it and think, oh yeah, what do I need tonight? Because again, we just don't normally think of it in those ways. We're usually focusing on other people. So I think the question and just being aware of it is a huge step forward.
It sounds like this is programmed almost into our DNA.
It really is.
Right?
It really is.
And so...
And we don't want to give the impression, Mike, that our male counterparts don't provide support and they're not doing things. You know, we don't want to perpetuate some of those stereotypes, but we know, generally speaking, that women do carry more of the caregiving load, as you say.
Absolutely. And because we know that, and you're right, not trying to perpetuate any stereotypes here,
yeah,
but it speaks to the need of why we have conversations just
That's
like
right.
this during Mental Illness Week. Let's take a look at the women in our lives, because we've recognized that it must make it, Allison, does that make it a hard demographic to reach?
It does. I mean, I think interestingly, women are more likely, I think, to access mental health care. There's a lot about, I think, the health system that actually is very female focused. It's one, it's conversely, it's another issue that we want to tackle someday, is how do we actually become more friendly and open for men to access care? But that being said, you're right. I think it's you reach a point of crisis by the time you sort of reach out. There's 10 steps before that where women could probably have prevented the need for care if they had known to take the time and put themselves a little bit more
and forward. Given themselves permission to
given
do
themselves
that.
Permission to yeah. do that. The last thing I'll say about the male female thing is, we've often talked about the different languages that men use to women. I can say that in my partnership, I probably very rarely will say, you know what, I need you to help me with this, although he might disagree. But if he actually says to me, hey, can I help you? That's a signal to me that, yeah, actually, I could use your help. So being more proactive in supporting our spouses, the women generally in our lives, our moms, our sisters, everybody,
yeah.
to say, what do you need and how can I help you with that? That being proactive, I think, would go a long way, because women aren't likely to ask for help all the time when we need it.
That's a very, very good reminder. A very good reminder. Helen's
and like, all of that contributes to our wellness, right?
Right.
And carrying less of a load. When we were here last month, Mike, we talked about Suicide Prevention Month, and we gave the analogy of the bricks, right? How many bricks are you carrying? And the more bricks you carry, the heavier the load, the more pain you feel. And suicide is really about pain. So in this month, as we're talking about women's mental health issues, we're really encouraging women to think about that in terms of, you know, how much of a load are they carrying? And sometimes the load that they carry is too much. And so sharing those bricks, having someone else carry a couple of those, taking some out of the bag, all of those things are really, really important in terms of monitoring how much your own heaviness is.
And I think one of the best parts about conversations we've been having around our mental wellness, not just here, but in general, it's become certainly more acceptable to have these conversations. And one of the things that really helped me kind of shift the way I think about it is we talk a lot about our physical well-being. If
yes.
you're, you know, get to the gym and work on your physical well-being. Well, we need to, and I think we're starting to think about our mental health exactly the same way.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's what we want.
Right.
If we can think about and talk about mental health like you're talking about a broken arm, we're going to be in a much better place in terms of monitoring, caring, and supporting people with mental health. That still is a big, big struggle. So we're getting there. You're right. We've made a tremendous amount of progress. But just think how freeing it would be if we could just talk about it like it was a broken arm. There's no shame in breaking your arm, right?
Right.
There still remains shame in feeling depressed or anxious. That is a reality we struggle with every day.
That's a great point. No shame in a broken arm, but we still feel that we're triggered when we have to talk about how we're... Yeah.
Like somehow it's our fault.
Right.
Right? And it isn't.
This is where Michael Landsberg, the
Absolutely.
Six Not Week, that's his term.
Sick, not weak.
Sick, yeah. Not weak.
And that was another great message to start to drive home for people and drill it into our minds so that we understand where it's coming from. You mentioned here 24/7, Helen, which we often talk about. So anybody that might want to reach out to CMHA, here 24/7 is absolutely one way. How else can they do it?
Again, we say informal support is huge, and especially for women. You know, we've got great networks of women friends and family members and colleagues. Talk to someone. Think about who you're comfortable with. It could be a friend, a family member, a neighbor. It could be your family doctor. There is here 24/7. You can call anonymously, of course, here 24/7. There's telehealth. You know, there's all kinds of avenues. There is no shortage of places you can reach out. You talked about your employer sending a message. There's EAP coverage, right? There are many, many opportunities. But what we always say to someone is, where are you most comfortable? And start there.
Right.
And Allison, I'm sure after being at the Women of the Year event last night, we realized that we're in very good company when it comes to the fine women in this community.
We sure
it's
are.
Great leaders.
Amazing. Great leaders. Yeah, I have to admit, I love that event because, geez, there were about, I don't know how many, almost 1,000 people in that room last night. Almost all women, lots of men supporting the women there. But the stories of everybody there, they should all be winners. In a way, we shouldn't almost pick, they all should pick winners there. So amazing.
That's a really good way to look at it. Thanks, as always, for making this time for us. I love these checkups that we have every month, and it's important for us to remember, you know, where we're at. And again, there's no shame in a broken arm, so there shouldn't be any shame in reaching out for help.
You got it, Mike.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Helen Fishburne and Allison Demouy with CMHA Waterloo Wellington. This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV.